Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast, where, as you all know, and I'm thankful, I've got regular listeners now who I bump into, actually, and they say to me they're listening, which is great. I pick a topic, and this one, I came across a really interesting article on something that we're all interested in, and it's the science of self-driving cars. Now, this has been kicking around for years, the hope of them, and if we can get self-driving cars, it'll have all kinds of benefits, which I'll come on to in a minute. But guess what? We're nowhere near them. And in the last few months, the article I read said there's been a few failures, there's safety issues. Some of the big players that are trying to make them are backing out. So it's a bit of a difficult time for the world of self-driving cars. And the problem is, if I was talking about this, 2 years ago, I would have said we're nearly there. And you got to watch that. Sometimes scientists go, we're a year away from something, and that year just keeps going and going and we never get there. And sadly, at the moment, self-driving cars are in that category. And billions have been spent on the research trying to make these self-driving cars. And we've all heard of artificial intelligence. It keeps coming up. I think I've done a couple of podcasts on it. It's its greatest challenge. This has been identified now. This is the one thing AI should crack. And AI has not cracked it yet. And AI should be in the car. In other words, it's a bit like a human brain, as it were, uploaded into the system. And it's got this fantastic level of intelligence, and the car drives off as if a human being is behind the wheel. But it's the greatest test for AI is, can it deliver on self-driving cars? If AI can't deliver on this, and of course there's optimism it will eventually, it questions the whole AI thing anyway. And all the hype around AI and how it's going to change our lives, if it doesn't achieve this particular goal, maybe it's not all it's cut out to be, at least at the moment. So people interested in AI are watching driverless cars very closely. The other thing is, and what inspired me to do it this week, by the way, is I was watching something recently, and somebody uploaded a little video. It was on X, actually, if I may mention X. In Phoenix, Arizona, this guy got into a self-driving taxi, a robo-taxi, and it drove off. And he filmed no driver and the steering wheel turning. It looked a little bit spooky. So you can get self-driving taxis already in three places in America: Phoenix, Arizona, Austin in Texas, and San Francisco. And there are self-driving robo cabs in those cities already. Now, they're only being used downtown. They go pretty slow, you know, but there are self-driving cars out there already. And in fact, what's happening is some of the issues are emerging because they're being deployed, but still they're there and there are issues with them. And the other thing to say is, I noticed as well, there's 23 states in America are now exploring them to see if their cities should be allowed to have these robo-taxis. They're called robo-taxis, or robo-cabs is the name they give to them. One of the companies that makes them is called Waymo. Another company called Cruise make these robo-cabs. And again, they're trying to expand their market share and obviously get more and more of these robo-taxis going for commercial reasons. Now, let's look at the history of it briefly, because something I often do is look back and say, when did this start and what was the progress? The US Army began this, actually, and way back, I think about maybe 15 years ago or more, they said, here is the challenge. They put the call out to make self-driving vehicles, and they said the first company to achieve it, there'll be $1 million prize. That was to incentivize them to come up with the technology, and the race began. Now, the US Army obviously wants self-driving vehicles, sending tanks into battle or whatever it is, you know, without humans in them would be tremendous for war, wouldn't it? And obviously the drone technology has come on massively. The war in Ukraine is revealing that there's never been so many drones used in a combat situation. Obviously, every time a war comes along, by the way, technology ramps up quickly during that time. Radar in World War II, for example. Gun technology improved massively in the American Civil War. It's a sad indictment on us humans in a way that we use technology to kill each other. But that's the reality. Now, drones are the main weapon that is being used in the war in Ukraine. So if you could move on from drones and have self-driving vehicles, there'd be no humans in the battlefield anymore. And what if you've got self-driving vehicles that can fire weapons? You might have self-driving vessels at sea and all that kind of thing. So the US military said, go and see if you can make them. And of course, as ever, technology used in war can be used for us civilians as well. And again, loads of examples of that over through history. And of course, us civilians could use self-driving vehicles. The promise was always safety. Because obviously, if you have a self-driving car, that should decrease the number of accidents on the roads, which is a big thing. And it's safer and they can drive in any weather. And, you know, the self-driving car doesn't get tired. It doesn't take drugs or drink, which is it's an issue with driving, of course. So the whole safety issue was the big thing, and convenience, you might say, as well, pressing why this should happen. So all the reasons are great to get self-driving vehicles. And of course, the serious side of this is deaths on our roads, which we're all very conscious of. There are 1.25 million deaths per year in the world because of traffic accidents. Now imagine if that went because of self-driving vehicles, because they should be able to avoid crashing into each other, or at least avoid accidents. And that was the promise. The safety issue was the big thing that was pressed hard on this. And then Uber, the taxi company, as you all know, we all use Uber, they began investing in it very early on, very heavily, because obviously what Uber would like is to replace all the Uber drivers with self-driving cars. But guess what? They have begun to back out of it as well. And that's the slightly negative developments that are happening. And of course, this promise that they're going to be safer is the undoing of it, because the problems that we're now seeing with self-driving cars is they're not as safe as they first appeared, and they are actually causing problems. And the reason why Uber backed out was someone has been killed tragically by a self-driving car. There was a woman called Elaine Hertzberg, and what was happening there was a driver in the car. The operator was sitting there, but the car was self-driving. And she was cycling on her bicycle. She had shopping bags on her handlebars. Now that seems something rather simple, but guess what? The car got confused by the shaking, the swinging of the bags, and the bicycle didn't realize there was a human being on a bike and crashed into the woman, and tragically she was killed. So because of that, they reckon Uber have said, oh, we can't really be getting into this yet, the technology isn't ready yet. In other words, you know, you can load up into the car all kinds of things to look out for problems, but the trouble is that was something that the car couldn't see as a human being on a bicycle. They reckon it was the swinging of the shopping bags that confused the car, because it was obviously able to see that using imaging technology, but it didn't spot it as a human being. And sadly, that poor woman then was killed, and Uber have pulled out. The other thing is Cruise also saw that. Now, Cruise are a company. They were bought by General Motors. Now, get this. General Motors bought Cruise, a company that's making self-driving cars, for $2.1 billion. Isn't that incredible? And obviously, General Motors are thinking, oh, the future is self-driving vehicles. Let's get into it now and beat the competition, because obviously that's what commercial aspects are about. And they spent all that money, and now Cruise are in retreat. And again, another accident. There were Cruise robo-taxis out there. And again, a woman was hit by a self-driving car built by Cruise. And luckily, she wasn't killed. And what happened to that woman was another car hit her, tragically, just in a normal accident, and knocked her into the way of this Cruise car. And that wasn't able to spot this happening. So whatever way it happened, the car wasn't able to detect that this was a human being flung in front of it by another car. Now, what's going on here, of course, is the car could learn from that. But still, it's tricky, isn't it? You don't want, it can't be trial and error, can it? Because we're dealing with human lives here. But even still, that accident worried Cruise. And Cruise has now withdrawn all its cars. And they're saying, we're going to have to do better. And in fact, when the Cruise accident was examined closely, of course, all these accidents, every time it's an accident, you got to try to find out what happened and stop it happening again. It wasn't driverless, fully driverless anyway. It was being monitored remotely every 4 or 5 miles by a human being anyway. So it wasn't full self-driving. So that was something that Cruise did point out. But even still, the accident still happened. So again, that was Cruise saying, oh dear, we got to be more careful. And the third thing that's happened, this is, well, it's a recent story, Tesla. Now, Tesla are aiming for driverless cars all the time. And anybody who has a Tesla, I believe it's almost driverless anyway. And yet an accident happened with a Tesla self-driving or semi-autonomous, that's called, car. And litigation is happening now. And as a result, Tesla have just recalled 2 million of their semi-autonomous cars, just in case, because this is obviously a worry for them that didn't quite work, you know, and there was an accident. And then, of course, the other thing about those Tesla cars is, and I read this in this piece as well, it can get confused. So a stop sign on a billboard, the car thinks it's a real stop sign, it stops. Another one example was a yellow moon in the sky. was confused for a yellow light, a yellow traffic light, and the car slowed down because of that. So again, it couldn't spot the difference between a yellow moon and a yellow traffic light. And then the other thing is about this, the challenges, I suppose. In San Francisco, where there are these robo-taxis, the fire department isn't happy and they're complaining about them. And the reason for this is there have been 55 incidents in San Francisco with self-driving cars that the fire department say is a worry. They'll freeze in the middle of the road sometimes and then they can get rear-ended, and that's been happening to some extent. These are rare things, but even still. The second is, for some reason, one or two of these cars are pulled up outside a fire station and they couldn't get the fire truck out. And that's not good, is it, either? So the fire department aren't happy because that's obviously a risk. Now, if we look at the more positive side, where do we need to see progress? The good part of this is every time a new technology comes along, it's always suboptimal. You know, remember the first mobile phone was a brick, and now look what's in our pockets. So there is progress here to some extent, and they're learning how to sort of deal with these things. But can every possible safety issue be dealt with? Now, the answer is no. There'll always be things that'll happen, but it's going to be safer than humans behind the wheel of a car. So we may see an acceptance of a level of safety concerns, because on balance there's a net benefit from them. So that's one thing that we might see happening. The second is that what they've also realised, and we know this, is driving isn't just about having a robot or whatever driving along and using imaging to allow the car to modify. Driving is very social, it turns out, and any driver will tell you, and I don't drive myself, I must admit, but any driver will tell you, you're looking at the roundabout and seeing who's coming onto the roundabout. You're judging things by human behaviour. And can AI achieve that? You know, read human behaviour and predict it. And that's where the challenge is. So social scientists are getting involved, analysing what drivers actually do using these social skills when they're driving, and that might be built into it as well. So again, they're trying to overcome this in the US in particular. And the other thing is the first place, okay, the robot taxis is one thing. That if that comes to every city, can you imagine? We'd all have Uber on our phones and we'll summon up. And that's what happens, by the way. It's an app on your phone and you click into it and the driverless car arrives at your house. That could become a reality in many cities, maybe, following the lead of these American cities. That's one thing. The dream remains, though, that we'll see more and more of them. They're talking about dedicated lanes just for autonomous trucks, for instance. And that gets a bit like a train, I suppose, but even still. So dedicated lanes for these driverless cars, maybe the next thing we're going to see. That's a possibility. And then, of course, as the technology improves, we may well see the safety issue being dealt with more and more. And remember, the dream is still there. Driverless cars don't drink. They don't get tired. They obey the law. There's a big one. And, you know, drivers not quite obeying the law is a social feature of driving as well. So maybe one day that promise of the world being not full of driverless cars, but the option of having driverless cars and car sharing and all the advantages of driverless cars may become a reality. And it's a space to watch because billions have been invested so far. And the investors do want a return eventually. They will keep investing in the hope that the safety concerns of driverless cars will be solved eventually. So it's a space that's to be watched very closely. And let's see what happens next. And thanks, as ever, for listening. Hope you found that one interesting. I think it is the future. And of course, my podcast is a News Talk production, and it's available for download every Thursday.